Tim Block Talk Radio, brought to you by Together in Ministry Network. We're building relationship, equipping the body of Christ, advancing the kingdom of God. Now, here's your host, Dwayne and Dennis Paris.
Welcome again to another show of Together in Ministry Block Talk Radio. Wherever in the world you are, whether it's good morning, it's good afternoon, it's good evening, thank you for taking the time out to join us. We want to make sure that we bring you an update of the conference that is coming up on Saturday. Remember, this Saturday, the 10th of August, for all of you who are in the UK, we invite you to come out to the conference. It's on the 10th of August. This is this Saturday, and you can find more information for directions and more details on our website. It's togetherinministry.org. Or we're on Facebook, which is Facebook/Together in Ministry. As usual, I like to go to a song. So today I'll play for you one of my favorites that I've been looking for the artist. And this is I Love You, Lord. Do enjoy. And we'll be right back.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Allow me to open up my mouth so that you may fill it with praise. Your word declares that I should come into your presence.
I love you, Lord, greater than anything. I love you, Lord, more than my heart can sing. I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
I worship
in spirit and in truth.
I love everything.
Let's worship the King of Kings.
I worship you.
Oh, we worship you.
All that my heart.
Let us focus on Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let us bless Him today. Let us give Him honor. Let us magnify Him and lift Him up, for He alone is worthy of all honor, of all glory, and of all praise. Lord, the kingdom is yours, and we bless you today.
I love you, Lord.
Higher above everything.
Indeed, welcome back. It's great to indeed be chatting with you. As Denise would have said to you, we're in the studio again this evening. We started about half an hour late, but that's because there's quite a lot going on here at our end in the UK in terms of our final preparations for that meeting we've spoken to you about. And that is restoring of spiritual parenting. We believe it's a real issue here in the UK and a much broader field. It's something that affects the body of Christ all over. And more importantly, it impacts our communities and ultimately affects our nations. Governments are formed based on the soundness of parenting, and in particular, spiritual parenting. Again, one of the issues that we hope, or one of the many issues we hope to address in the conference, is the fact that there is a perception that some church splits, ineffective local churches, and unorthodox and cult-like independent faith movements are a result of failed accountability or mentoring relationships or even an absence of spiritual parenting in those specific environments. We want to test that hypothesis in the symposium being held next Saturday, the 10th of August, and we are hoping that you can come and join us. Be inspired, be encouraged, be motivated, and hopefully contribute. And we know that at the end of the day, if you come with open hearts, you'll be going back to your various communities empowered and strengthened concerning the whole concept of parenting and relationships. As I said, we live in a world where a lot of values continue to change around us. There's lots of instability. There are changes in values. There are changes in morale. There are changes in the law. But it's essential to maintain and build strong relationships. And we believe that spiritual parenting is the bedrock, is the foundation of strong relationships. And as I said, the word spiritual parenting is a phrase really to capture all relationships, from mentoring to discipling to general accountability. And we're hoping that you can come and share your own experiences. Maybe you've been a part of churches that would have split. You may be a part of churches that appear to be ineffective in their local communities. You might be a part of churches that are branded cults. And, you know, you want some answers. And we suggest that you join us. It's going to be a real great experience in God's presence. And hearing from two established and known fathers of the faith, one international who resides and is coming out of Canada at this stage, Apostle Malcolm Sobers, and then we have a local father here who has been a pioneer in the days of the 60s and who would have been part of various movements in the UK, prophetic and apostolic movements. His name is John Noble. So these men bring with them a wealth of experience and knowledge and insight and wisdom from God that I believe that as a body of Christ we can benefit from. So again, come and tap into what God is doing and saying now. We hope that you'll be there. What I'd like to do is to play a clip for you of Denise and I and very good friends of ours, and in a sense partners in ministry also. Those are friends living or residing in St. Lucia. Together some weeks ago, we had a conversation about parenting in general, and we shared a lot of spiritual principles from out of that, or we discussed a lot of those things, and we felt it was engaging and inspiring. And again, to whet your appetite, we'll play about 15 minutes of that clip. And actually, we do have a surprise drop-in guest through Man of God who will share a few words with you. It's a bit of a surprise, so keep listening.
Theme or issue or area of relationships. And we're going to try to focus on the relationships that exist within the context of the church community. And then we're going to probably have a look at how some of those truths and related principles can be applied to our daily lives outside of the church. Because we live in various communities with different issues, different challenges, and we need to understand the dynamics of how we relate one to the other, because ultimately I think we all are, that is, those that are outside of the church and outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and those that are within the church, I think we're all aiming to build a strong community, a strong nation, and strong communities and strong nations are really built on strong relationships. So we need to understand those dynamics and be able to actually maximize and really extract the strengths that relationships bring. You know, we don't have to look very far when we look to the news today. There's, you know, so many stories, news stories, reflecting, you know, a lot of times, I guess, tragedy, and both on a human level. Sometimes it is a natural disaster. But within all of these events, there is always the interesting story of relationships between individuals. And as I said, we want to explore those various types of relationships. We're going to look a little bit at parenting, both in the context of the church, so spiritual parenting. And we're going to try to, as I said, take that outside of the church and look at parenting in the context of, you know, how we live our lives, how we develop and build community. And we're going to look at submission in the context of a relationship. From the perspective of Scripture, we hear a lot about submitting one to the other, or I guess putting it another way, we're talking here about mutual accountability. Being accountable to each other and the responsibilities that come with that, and whether or not that's, you know, a strong enough function and feature of relationships to help us to build stronger relationships.
Well, even before you go on, I want to do a plug for the event that is coming up, and I'm going to remind our listeners afterwards, but it is pertaining to the same topic, isn't it? Restoring Spiritual Parenting Conference, and that is on the 10th of August. It's a Saturday, and that's going to be for the majority of the day. You can go on our website, it's www.togetherinministry.org, and find out more information.
Yes, that's definitely going to be an engaging and an exciting conference, one that is being hosted here in the UK, and we are expecting leaders from across denominations to attend. We believe definitely here in the UK there are many conversations going on, but one of the political conversations that is going on is the whole issue of the male identity crisis in the UK and the absence of males in the home, the absence of males in schools, and how that is influencing and affecting the generation that is coming up today. So we want to begin to speak into or join the chorus of voices that are articulating particular positions on what possible solutions should look like. And as I said, we're going to be coming purely from scripture and hopefully bringing the very mind of Christ to shape this debate. But it is clear, based on the as I said, the events and the moral decay that appears to be taking place in society, that this message, a decision to turn back again to relationships and what they mean, particularly parenting, I think it's key at this juncture in the development and growth and transformation of the peoples of these United Kingdoms. So, as I said, I hope for those of you who are listening that are in the UK that you can indeed join us. We'll tell you a lot more about that at the end. But as I said, before we really get into all of that, as I said, our conversation tonight is about relationships. It is about even the man and the wife, the man and the woman in the context of the institution of marriage, you know, and we want to touch aspects of it because that's a huge topic. Probably we should do that on its own, but we're just going to touch one or two things around that also. So we want you to, you know, stay tuned.
Okay. Well, we have friend and minister of the gospel, Gareth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Welcome
Hello?
To the show again, Gareth. Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you very
Okey-dokey.
Clearly.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes, Gareth, I hope you would have caught most of our introduction, but we were just sharing with our listeners that we'll be broadly talking about relationships today in the church and outside of the church. And we're going to touch on a few aspects. It's a very broad topic, and we don't intend to exhaust it tonight, but we want to focus on a few issues. That's around parenting, around mentoring, and we want to also talk a bit about mutual submission or mutual accountability.
Ability.
You know, or in another term, indeed, submission one to the other. And there are many contexts, but we want to deal with, I guess, the church environment first, because, you know, scripture says that, you know, God's instruction, God's discipline, God's
judgment.
Correction starts first in his house. And I think the house has to get it right. That is the house of God. So that we could truly be that light on top of a hill to in a sense, lead others that may be looking also for some light in their environment of, I guess, darkness. We can provide that light, but we could only do it if we are getting it right ourselves. So I guess I want to start by saying relationships are important, and is established way back in Genesis that, you know, even the God that we Christians serve described himself from the onset as or use the plural term to describe himself in describing the creation of man when he said, "Let us create man."
Mm.
And we further learn, I guess, through the course of the Bible and through various teachings and all the rest of it, that, you know, there is God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Son being Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis, I guess, we see God the Father quite plainly and clearly, and we see God or the Holy Spirit in terms of him hovering over the deep and all the rest of it. And I guess we also see Jesus in the form of the spoken word. Yeah.
Yes.
So all three of them existed from the very beginning, but the three were one despite being distinct. And
right.
It appears as though that, as I said, there is a unique and, I guess, mysterious relationship between the three, but one that is presented to the believer as, though they're different, they're one and they're together. But what, again, what we're focusing on is that it appears as though God understood the value of relationship. He then, in creating man, you know, after creating man, he looked down and he said that it's not good for man to be alone. And that was, again, in the early chapters of Genesis. And we all know this, that Eve then joined Adam. And they formed, I guess, the first family. Yeah, we got the first lady or the first family of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first
family
of all humanity. But again, I think God underlining the need for relationship or relationships. And there are many dynamics, as I said, and the one that we want to probably look at is parenting initially.
Mm.
I probably would cite this story and to have us begin the discussion around parenting and first from a, as I said, I guess natural and spiritual perspective, but in the context of the church, we can look at the story, I guess, of Adam and Eve and their first two sons.
Mm.
Cain and Abel.
Right.
Yeah. And the behavior of the two sons, we know that Cain eventually killed Abel, and then they got a second son, I believe it was. Seth was his name.
Seth, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in that story, it was clear, while there was not any mention of what Adam, the earthly father, was doing, it was clear that the spiritual or God the Father was talking to both of those young men, Cain and Abel, instructing them. But they choose to disobey. And as I said, the particular tragedy, the first murder, recorded murder and human tragedy or family tragedy occurred. I guess there was some breakdown, within that family there. It is clear. I guess the question...
We just had a little break over
here. So I want us to really start the conversation that you probably give in your opening comments, Garrett, around spiritual parenting. But
okay.
Then, you know, commenting a bit on, you know, maybe some of the challenges that first family had.
Okay.
In terms of bringing up those two young men.
Now, I want to go a little back to echo some of the things that you said about the necessity of relationships. As a person who has grown to love my own company through my childhood, one of the things that I have been impacted by is this need, as I have grown older, the necessity of relationships. There's this phrase that is quite popular in the world that no man is an island. And that is so true, because the sense is that we need each other to accomplish things. If you work alone and live alone, you limit your potential. There are dimensions of purpose that cannot be accomplished if we exist outside of relationships. I can't remember the name of the philosopher, but someone that I studied said that life outside of a society is nasty, brutish, and short. And that is quite an indictment. But it is life outside of a society that is organized and has rules will resemble that in a way. But what I don't want to go into the philosophy and where that quote came from. I really want to echo what you were saying as you were talking about the Godhead. And in the Godhead, we see three, but the three are so unified that they are one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a principle that you could spend hours on just meditating on that. That when you have three things that are not the same, but who in nature and in character and in focus and in vision are so united, they are considered one. Because what separates us are differences. Not so much differences in the way we look, but differences in the way we think.
Yeah.
If you had a person with brown skin and you had a person with pink skin and you had a person with another shade of skin, but they all thought the same way and they did not see those differences, those three people would think as one and act as one.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we have people who have different color eyes. But that does not separate them because they do not regard the color of their eyes as being significant.
Yeah.
And those people work together, act, focus, do everything that they need to do together. The things that bring this unity or breaks in relationship is not so much the physical, but it is the way we perceive or the way we think or the way we understand ourselves and the environment around us.
Yeah.
All right? So I would just like to echo that. The second thing about relationships that you spoke about was the relationship that, again, echoing something that I said earlier, that if you live alone, there is a limitation. And that was echoed by God the Father. He said, He made everything, and he said it was good. And then he looked at man, and he uttered this thing. Man, the creation of man was good. But he said, it is not good. This man will not fulfill the fullness of what I intend for him if he is alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at that in two senses. We can look at that in the sense of marriage. But we could also look at that in the sense of community.
Yeah.
Because this was the first and the only man. And God said this man needs to be in connection with another like himself.
Mm-hmm.
In order to explore the fullness of who he is, in order to express the fullness of who he is, this man needs another person like himself, another of the same type, to fully express his potential. So again, as a foundation, I want to echo what you were saying, that relationships, whether we believe it or not, whether they make us comfortable or not, there is a necessity of relationships if we trace through the word. It is exemplified by what we call the Godhead, and it's also exemplified in almost everything God does. He called a man, but out Abraham, but out of that man he drew a nation. Jesus came and he did not save. He brought 12, but his principle was that out of the 12 was going to grow a church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this church, again, we're all supposed to be one.
Yes.
This idea of unity is key in the mm-hmm. in relationship. This idea of unity, and that is something I believe that the enemy of our souls has worked on assiduously to destroy.
Yes.
So we are divided by our perceptions of each other.
Yes. Yes.
We are not so much divided.
I guess, picking up on that, and we will come back to the first family and their challenges. But just picking up on your point there again about the unity, it was interesting, again, in the book of Genesis, I think it was chapter 11, when the people of, I can't remember the community or nation, the name, but they were building a tower.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were all operating.
Nimrod was captain by Nimrod, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, and they were all operating in one accord.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was to either reach God or be higher than God.
Yes.
But, you know, God stepped down. He looked at them. And for our listeners, you can read 11 and you'll get the exact words. But God looked at that act of humanity in unity and he said, you know, I need to confuse the language here because what these people are doing are dangerous. Not because they were building something, but it was not worship unto God, but it was worship unto self and stuff like that. And I mean, that's a whole different message. But the issue was, one of the things that was disrupted at that stage, God chose to disrupt, is the method of building a relationship and maintaining that unity, and that is communication, you know.
Yes.
And we see today, you know, a complete breakdown in our societies, whether you be in the Caribbean or in Europe or in the U.S., wherever you are, Central America, we see divisions amongst people, and it's not simply a language barrier.
I just want to interject this thought because I think you may have uncovered a key principle. If we go back to Genesis 11, what we saw was unity, and God recognized that unity and recognized the power of that unity, because God literally said that there will nothing that will be withheld from these people that they have imagined to do.
Yes.
So but the thing about it is, it's a key principle, which leads to your next point. Unity outside of God is doomed to failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unity apart from God, unity in man's own effort, always seems to run up against some sort of hurdle that there is no answer for. And you were beginning to go on to now the breakdown in families. And the question is, what is the foundation of the unity in those families?
Mm.
What is the foundation? Are those families, are the structures we are building, which we are calling families, do those have as their foundation God? Is God mm-hmm. consulted in the decision making? Is God the center and the head?
Mm-hmm.
God mm-hmm. said himself that when he sees unity, we're just extrapolating from Genesis 11, when there is a unity that is set up, that is outside of God's sanction, he said, I will come down and I will disrupt it. And that is a very powerful and sometimes very frightening thing, and we don't think it's fair. But if we understand that we are God's creation, and our first rule and duty is to obey him, when we begin to set up our own systems and our own relationships outside of his mandate, outside of his control, he says, I will not tolerate that. And so we see that you can strive after a unity by yourself. But and you will achieve a measure of success. But in Genesis, in that one instance, God said, he didn't say it because, he said, these people have imagined a thing, and if I don't intervene, they will accomplish it. But I am not going to let them accomplish it. And here we see God in a different role, not gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but we see God as the ruler of the whole earth saying, I will not permit this to happen. And that is a dimension that sometimes we don't want to talk about, because we feel that we are all free moral agents and God must sanction everything we do. But there are times that God, in his divine sovereignty, will say, these people are doing the right thing, but they're doing it on the wrong foundation.
And I mean, that is, again, so true, and is also at the heart of, I think, what I'd also talked about as key in, to building and, I guess, maintaining effective and, I guess, godly relationships. It's clear that those group of guys and ladies and all who formed that community were not speaking the language of God.
No.
They were speaking, you know, a language of selfishness, you know, pride, you know, self-indulgence and you know, they were puffed up in their own ability and capability, which was a language underlining what you were saying earlier, that was a void of God. It did not reflect the very purpose for which humanity was created, and that was to reflect the glory of God, to worship God, and to demonstrate again that unity in relationship where even the language was okay. So, I mean, I want to suggest and say here is that, you know, God actually saying I will disrupt, come down and disrupt their language, was a recognition that their language had already been different to the language he intended humanity to speak and to communicate in. So the relationship between man and God at that stage was already disrupted.
Right.
And then God disrupted the language or the communication between each other. Because if you, which I think is another key point, if you can't communicate effectively, if you're not speaking the same language with God, and that might be a language of love, a language of patience, a language of understanding, and all these different things, these traits and character traits of the very nature of God, how can you speak it with your fellow human being? You can't.
Right.
It is disrupting, yeah? And I want to say that, stepping down was to do just had already. So, you know, God, in a sense, was only watching over his word and his laws to perform it, as he always does. It is humanity who had stepped out of line, stepped
right.
out of place, and they were effectively up against the very laws of God. And we all know, you know, over time and in my own experiences, Gara, you know, it's not a good thing to choose to not speak the language of God. To not communicate with Him. You can find yourself in very sticky and difficult places.
Yes.
And I think that's what happened with them. But again, coming back to our whole relationship thing, I guess what we're saying is speaking one language or speaking the same language with the Heavenly Father allows
yes.
us to positions us to better communicate with each other. Yeah. And
yep.
If that relationship and language is disrupted vertically, it is impossible for us to get it right horizontally.
I would agree with that. Sometimes it will work for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it appears to work, as you were saying, in both of our experiences, there is an
yes.
appearance of success, but the
mm-hmm.
ultimate fruit, the ultimate fruit is destruction.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the ultimate fruit is destruction, and as I said, at the heart of what we're trying to say here is that relationships need the right communication. Yeah.
Yes.
And if not, they're likely to break, and you need to be speaking the right language. And I mean, if
yes.
we can turn our attention a little to the
mm-hmm.
family,
yes.
the family, Adam and Eve and his two sons.
Actually, I was just going to bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that we have is that Adam and Eve had a vertical break.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were talking about it, it's not mentioned explicitly in the Bible, right? But you were saying that these two sons, that as they were raised, what could it have been in that environment that triggered Cain to do the things he did and Abel to do the things he did? And what I have never thought about it before, but what came to my mind was that the disobedience of Adam and his wife was mirrored in the attitude of Cain, who was the elder son.
Wow.
You see that? There is no other mention of what would cause Cain, raised in a semi-perfect environment, to produce that sort of attitude and behavior. And the only thing that came to my mind was that the parents passed on rebellion.
I think you're spot on. You know, children follow
yes.
The example of their parents, don't they?
Yes, yes. And because there was a vertical break, right? Because there was
mm-hmm.
a vertical break, you get a horizontal break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
As godly as we desire to be, as good parents as we desire to be, if we are broken in our relationship with God, and I'm speaking of both people who, Christian and non-Christian, if
yes.
there are elements in our lives, it is amazing to look at children, and I don't know every parent I know has experienced this, and see yourself, good and bad, mirrored in that child.
Wow.
When you look at a child, you see yourself replicated, and it is not always a pleasant experience. You see your rebellion, you see your anger, you see your fear, reflected in some way, in some dimension, in those you give birth to.
Yeah.
And so when we look at Cain, we see a picture of Adam and Eve's rebellion. Cain, God speaking to Cain said, Cain, you know what to do. But if you don't do it, sin is lying at your door. And it's the same principle. If we just move back up a generation, Adam knew what to do. And he did not do it. And what happened? Sin lay at the door and took control. Mirrored in the sun.
There are many examples of that in the Bible, isn't there?
Throughout the Bible. I mean,
the patriarchs.
Yes. Some of it is so uncanny as you trace, for example, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as you study the lives of the things that they kept doing, each generation after generation kept doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And as parents, we don't like to think that way. We don't want to think that way. We think that we give birth to these absolutely perfect little children and that we are going to do our best. We are not going to make the same mistakes that our parents made, ha, ha, ha. And we end up doing the same or if not worse.
Well, I could look at it from a different perspective. In, you know, while we, Denise and I, do not as yet have children of our own, you know, I could look at my own life and see things that, as you were correctly saying, Garrett, you know, you see things about your parents and you say, well, I wouldn't do that.
Ever.
And unfortunately, you end up doing the exact thing, you know, that you said you would not have done. So,
grace of God, worse.
Yes, that was a recording a few weeks ago by Denise, myself, and our friends in St. Lucia, Gareth and Tessa. We were discussing spiritual parenting broadly, a number of issues there. I think it was quite engaging getting Gareth's comments. And the general discussion we had about, you know, the first family relationships being fundamental, and some of the keys of strong relationships, the ability to communicate, all set out in the book of Genesis. That's that. I hope you can go and actually listen to the end of that particular podcast. It's on another show on the website. But right now, I did promise you a surprise guest. We do have one of the speakers at the conference on Saturday the 10th here in our studios, the Apostle Malcolm Sobers, all the way from Canada. He is just flew in just today, and he's here with us in the studios. Apostle Sobers, could you just share a few thoughts with our listening audience concerning the conference and generally greet them?
Hi, thank you, Dwayne, and greetings to you listening friends. I'm so happy that I can be part of this symposium on spiritual parenting. I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been a recipient of spiritual fathers and mothers helping me, blessing me, wherever I am today. This is a result of their input into my life. And on the other hand, having both biological and spiritual children, I've been able to help. Some of it is still apprenticing. In some way, we never come out as if we are experts in this thing. There's so much to learn every day, and we hope to share some of what we have learned, both positive and negative, the things that we have seen worked and the ones that have not worked. I mentioned the fact that I called a friend here in the UK and mentioned that we are going to be, myself and John Noble, we'll be sharing on spiritual parenting. And she said, are there still spiritual parents around? And there are so few. Indeed, there are very, very few. We want to stir your hearts and stir your interest, and maybe you are out there as a person who feels that you can pass on, whether you want to call it mentoring, you want to call it coaching, you want to call it discipling, whatever it is, what we have received, in one sense, we are obligated to pass on. And we are hoping to encourage you to do that. I'm also looking forward to the feedback sessions where we'll be interacting, learning from you as well. So we are not coming as experts just telling you what to do. We are sharing our thoughts and ideas with the hope of encouraging more spiritual parenting within the church, within the kingdom of God. So God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you and meeting you on the 10th of August at the symposium. Blessings again.
Malcolm, thanks for that. And just to let you guys know that Malcolm has been a spiritual father, both Denise and I. I think Denise has more aggressively pursued all the great stuff from Malcolm. I've been lagging behind a bit, but as a good father usually does, you know, he still works with me, which I'm very appreciative of. So, wonderful, wonderful. Yes, guys, we're really expecting you there. Hope to see you. Denise?
Yes, thank you, guys. Remember, you can find out more on our website. It's togetherinministry.org. We're on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/togetherinministry. We're also on Twitter. It's twitter.com/timcommunities. We have the information, all the information of the event on an event page on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook a lot, or you just visit Facebook, make sure you check out the event page. It has all the information that you need. The event is going to be at the Grove Center. It's 2 Jews Walk, and that's in London. Again, you can find more the map on the Facebook page also. Well, thank you for joining us again. You've been listening to Together in Ministry Blog Talk Radio, and we're on the air again next Saturday. Even though we have the conference, we'll be trying to give some snippets of it for those of you who can't actually make it. You're gonna get some snippets from the conference. It will be just after, because it'll be at 8:00 our usual time. So God bless you, keep you, cause His light to shine upon you, and don't forget to join us next week. God bless. Bye.